Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
You're in South and Central Florida. The storm is making its way in tonight. Please stay safe. Keep listening for alerts. There may be tornadoes that come in, and your radio or cell phone will give you important messages. Our number one priority is protecting every life in this state. Nobody should be on a Florida beach on the East Coast tonight. Nobody should be on the beach. Nobody should be surfing. We are going to lose power, and we're not going to lose power for a short period of time. We're already starting to see the impacts, and it's a monster. Again, it's here.
Talked to Alex Stone from ABC News earlier in Charleston, South Carolina. If you look at a map of the East Coast, Charleston, obviously the tip of South Carolina, sort of juts out from the coastline. And if you were to draw a straight line from Daytona Beach and Jacksonville, where most of the trouble is, along the coastline and up, you pretty much get a direct hit on Charleston. So I'd say Charleston is more of a bullseye now for landfall than anything else. Storm surge is the biggest problem. Storm surge, again, shallow water is a bigger problem than deep water, because shallow water, there's no place for the water to go, no place for it to be recycled down. And storm surge piles water on top of water, and the winds create waves on top of the piled water. So if you got 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 feet of storm surge, and then you have waves on top of it, things get much worse. The centrifugal force of the storm has been weakened overnight. But make no mistakes, as President Obama was saying a few minutes ago, and as we've said for days, it's still a very serious problem for the East Coast of the United States. And is it going to do that hook shot where it ends up coming back down to the Bahamas by early next week? Tom Skilling joins us now, the greatest weather mind in America.
Steve, how are you?
Nice to talk to you, buddy. How are you?
Good to talk to you, too, Steve. Well, very interested in all this. What a fascinating storm. We've got two hurricanes out in the Atlantic at the same time, and, of course, Matthew's been capturing our attention. But do you know it's the first time, Steve, that we've had two Category 2 or stronger hurricanes, although Nicole is weakening right now, and before it's all over, Matthew may do that loop you were talking about up along the Carolina coast and back out to sea and then back to Florida again, albeit in highly weakened form by early next week. But these two hurricanes may spin around each other. It's an effect known as the Fujiwara effect, where you actually have two tropical cyclones kind of spinning around a central point, and that may be what's going on. But you are right. This storm is not done yet. I worked in Jacksonville, Florida, back in the mid-70s, and, you know, that's the largest in terms of aerial size. That's the largest city in the United States. Jacksonville is. It covers all of Duval County down there, and they have a big river that goes through, the St. John's River, and this storm is piling the water from the Atlantic up that river and creating this storm surge. And I was just looking at some of the peak wind gusts that have occurred. There have been gusts overnight around 100 miles per hour. In fact, over 100 down by Cape Canaveral, right on the beach there. But fortunately, the organized hurricane-strength winds have only been flirting with the eastern coastline, and that had always been considered a possibility, and it's done damage the length of Florida. But it looks like areas like south around Miami and areas like that, because the wind flow was offshore, away from the coast instead of on the coast, as it is up the coast in Jacksonville and St. Augustine and Daytona Beach right now, they avoided the huge storm surge issue that's going to be a real problem the rest of the afternoon and tonight in northern Florida and northeastern Florida and also the coast of Georgia and South Carolina. And something else, Steve, you know, Charleston, Hilton Head, areas like that, only a year ago, they had record flooding that cost them about $1.5 billion and also 19 lives. I don't know if you remember that, but historic flooding, and they're about ready to go through another round of very heavy rains as well. They had up to 23 inches out of that flood last year. This one may produce some 15-inch totals in some areas.
Tom, was this a strange storm because it was a 4 and then a 3 and then back to a 4? And like Steve said, the path it's taking is so strange. I didn't know Jacksonville hadn't had a hurricane warning in 17 years.
Oh, you know, that's a good point, Andrea. You know, a lot of people think Florida hurricanes. But the fact is that East Central and Northeast Coast has not very often hosted a major hurricane. In fact, when I was working down there, I remember the talk was about Hurricane Dora that was the last hurricane to have touched the coast there in northeast Florida, and that happened back in 1964. And somebody was pointing out today, this is the first time Jacksonville's been under a hurricane warning in 17 years. So it's not at all common in this area of Florida to get a hurricane. Now, on the other hand, you know, the Carolinas kind of jut out into the Atlantic, and they're a frequent target of hurricane landfall, so it's not uncommon there. But isn't that interesting? It really, you are absolutely right about that. The Northeast Floridians don't have a lot of experience with landfalling or land flirting hurricanes.
So, Tom, the fact that this storm has stayed 30 miles or more off the coast is luck, or was there something that happened weather-wise that kept that track?
No, you know, Steve, anymore, these track forecasts that we generate in the field of meteorology are the product of, scores of computer model runs that are then averaged or ensembled, as we say. And there were track forecasts that put it just onshore. There are other ones that kept it just offshore. So we knew it was going to be a flirtatious arrangement and relationship between the coastline and where the hurricane actually moved, and that's exactly what's happened. It probably, though, the fact that the eyewall itself, that's that donut of strong winds in the center of the storm within which the eye of the hurricane resides, is actually on the coast and has been working up the coast from, say, Volusia County, the area around Cape Canaveral and so forth, all night long. And it continues to be the case right now, but the strongest winds are just offshore. And, you know, these storms are rather compact. If you looked at, if you laid that hurricane over Chicago, the area in which it's producing hurricane force winds would run from roughly DeKalb over to South Bend. And so it's a rather compact area that has the hurricane force winds. And what's been happening is that DeKalb, western fringe area of the storm, word over Chicago, has been what's flirting with the east coast of Florida. The west coast has had strong winds. They've had wind gusts of 45 miles an hour in Tampa on the Gulf side of Florida, but these are just squally winds with occasional thunderstorms. So they've, and were expected all along to miss out on, you know, the real dangerous part of this storm.
As the day goes on today, what's a good news scenario and what's a bad news scenario as you watch it?
Well, the bad news is the worst is yet to come for Jacksonville, St. Augustine, areas like that. It's working up the coast, and it goes next into St. Simons Island, Brunswick, Georgia, Savannah, Georgia, and then ultimately tonight and tomorrow up toward Hilton Head and Charleston, although they'll have effects before then. So the heart of the storm, the real action, has moved out of Miami, out of West Palm Beach, out of, the Cape Canaveral area shortly, and is focusing now on northeast Florida and the Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina coast. Ultimately, we'll get in on it, too. So, and storm surge will be the big, that's where the winds blow against the coastline. And in the case of this storm, it's going to raise the ocean level about 9 to 11 feet, they figure, in the St. Johns River around Jacksonville. That would be like raising Lake Michigan 9 to 11 feet and then put 20-foot breaking waves on it. And offshore, they have 30 to 40-foot waves. So imagine what that would do to Lakeshore Drive if we had a storm come up that raised the lake level 9 to 11 feet. And then you put 20-foot and 30-foot waves on top of it. That's what's hitting the coastline there right now.
We will watch this throughout the day today. And, as I said at the top of the show this morning, Tom, it's another example of thank God you're here and not there. We may, complain about the winter weather and worry about tornadoes in the summer, but a massive hurricane like this, it can move millions of people. That's rough.
Oh, boy, no question about it. Well, it's the most powerful concentrated wind machine on Earth. And, we have our little tornadoes, little but deadly and terrible. But, imagine a thunderstorm at its worst, Steve, and that'll pass in an hour or two in our area. And look at the damage it does. But picture this going on for 6 to 8 or 10 hours. And that's what a hurricane does. It produces the worst effects of the most powerful thunderstorm we can imagine, only it goes on and on and on. And so you're right. In a way, we're very blessed.
It's my friend Tom Skilling.